Freddy Krueger here, and you're listening to Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the crew this week in Geek.net.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to a very delayed Nerd News Network, and today's episode is going to be a little bit different, as I've been away for 2 weeks from, well, I guess I should catch you guys up first. So first off, we've been dealing with a brutal heat wave up here, just north of Toronto, for the better part of 2 weeks. And that was a thing, and that was a problem, but that's not the main reason, actually. Our studio computer literally melted down, and I lost almost everything. However, thanks to my friend Kevin Tate and his brother Sean and countless others such as Derek and Dan, I've been able to... And some fans on Twitter who've helped donate some money to help us rebuilding a computer here, we're kind of sort of back up and running. So as of right now, I'm on a borrowed computer up until I can get a new Twig editing rig up and going. My friend Kevin has quoted me a price somewhere north of $500. And I guess the reason we're doing that is mostly so we can future-proof this thing as best we possibly can. I've gotten a couple of donations. I'm selling toys, comic books, and video games to see if I can raise some money on my own. Because you fans have been way too good to me, and I think I can do it, but I guess I'll just have to wait and see. If you want more details, just follow my Facebook and Twitter, at BirdmanDodd for both. So, we're back now, and we're hopefully going to have our topic show next week. Probably going to be coming on Monday night at the latest, maybe Tuesday morning, depending. During the hard drive crash and the computer crash, I did lose a couple of, bots roles that were recorded. They were in the middle of being edited, and obviously I lost all the project files, so now I have to rebuild that and re-record them, which is okay, because I kind of wanted to redo them anyway, so I'm not totally upset with that, just mildly annoyed. Alright, so, now that I have that out of the way... today's nerd news is not going to be a traditional talking about what's happened in the world of geeks so much as it is remembering someone. On August 30th, at the age of 76, writer, director, producer, even occasionally actor, Wes Craven had passed away from brain cancer. He'd been sick for quite some time, and I didn't even know he was sick, all things considered. So today, I want to spend probably about 10 minutes or so talking about what Wes Craven and more like some of his movies have meant to me as a person. Wes Craven is a name you've probably heard, even if you're just kind of a lay person in terms of the horror movie genre. Wes Craven's the same guy who gave us Nightmare on Elm Street. He's the mastermind behind Freddy Krueger. He's also the guy who gave us The Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes, and the Scream series of movies, and now most recently the Scream television series, which I haven't admittedly had a chance to check out, but I have heard some pretty good things about it, so I am going to check it out probably once it's all out at once. It's on MTV, so I'm a little leery of that, but I digress. So Wes Craven is one of the first directors I ever came to know by name. It was probably about 1997 or 98, maybe even 99. My parents had bought me, for Christmas, it was a box set from Alliance Atlantis, or Alliance Films, or whatever they're calling themselves now, for Nightmare on Elm Street. And at that time, it was all seven movies, including New Nightmare, in one of the first DVD box sets pretty much ever. And I'm pretty sure it was my first one I ever owned. And Wes Craven is a name I'd known prior to that, because like I said, he gave birth to Freddy, and the Nightmare on Elm Street movies share a very special place in my heart, because in my family, we were never close to anybody. In fact, we were the textbook definition of fucked up, frankly. But my Uncle Gord, which is my grandmother's brother, who me and him had a very antagonistic relationship growing up, for whatever reason. I guess because I was a kid, he was an old man. Sometimes you just don't see eye to eye. So anyway, one weekend, I was probably in grade 4 or 7. I can't remember which. I know it was somewhere in that age range, though. He was living with us, And he said, hey, Michael, do you want to watch some movies? And I'm like, okay, sure. So he rents the Nightmare on Elm Street series. I remember watching 1 through 4 with him in my parents' basement. And it was some of the coolest movies I'd ever seen at that time. I remember I'd heard of Freddy Krueger. I'd had the Nintendo game. I knew of his reputation as the guy with the razors for fingers and the reputation of killing you through your dreams, but I hadn't seen the movies at that point. So for a Saturday and a Sunday, for one weekend, I watched about 3/4 of the series with my Uncle Gord, and I was utterly enthralled with horror movies pretty much after. I mean, I remember my first movie I remember crystal clearly was The Fox and the Hound and Friday the 13th Part 5. So talk about from going one extreme to the next. And I just remember really, really digging these movies, obviously, because, you know, blood is cool and, you know, Freddy Krueger's a cool bad guy. But there was something about this series of movies that just caught my attention, other than the utter charisma from character actor Robert Englund, who portrays Freddy Krueger throughout the series. The only exception was the reboot, which came out back in 2010, and the less I talk about that one, you know, the better. But Wes Craven had created this awesome world of fiction where you had this guy, like I said, it would come to you through your dreams, you could never truly escape him. And he created this world where basically anything was truly possible, and this little town, Springwood, Ohio, was a fucking ghost town by the time Freddy's Dead number 6 comes around. And to the point where the parents don't talk about him. The town suppressed all information. People are surprised to see kids, because Freddy's essentially wiped out the population. And they wouldn't really address this again, really, until Freddy versus Jason, where they talk about Weston Hills and Hypnosil and all that stuff, which itself was a reference to Nightmare on Elm Street 3, which was directed by Chuck Russell, I think, which I think pretty much launched or helped launch the career of Lawrence Fishburne, or Larry Fishburne, as he was known in those days. But it was the 90s later on when the horror genre had kind of gotten over, like, characters like Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, and Freddy Krueger to a large extent, and they needed a horror that was smarter. And he invented the series called Scream, which took all the horror tropes and arguably made Jamie Kennedy tolerable for 15 minutes at a time, and really gave Nev Campbell a big start out of her stuff from, like, I think it was, what, Party of Five, I think was the show she was on. Cute as hell, by the way. And it sort of gave horror the shot in the arm that it needed, and it launched a whole bunch of imitators. I remember I Know What You Did Last Summer and all that stupid shit. But Scream kind of kicked it off. And I remember the second one where they had the guy from Sliders die, if I'm not mistaken. And the mythos kept changing with each movie. Like, it got to the point where it was honestly kind of stupid. Then randomly Jay and Silent Bob are number 3 for whatever reason. And then Wes Craven shows up and Jay and Silent Bob strike back with Shannon Doherty. And he's like, Jesus Christ, Wes, are you even trying anymore? And he's like, what? It tested great. Stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, I've always kind of just assumed, I guess very naively, that he's always going to be there. Like, it's just one of those things. I just never, I never think of people as people, if that makes any kind of sense. Like, they're always going to be there. Like, sure, they're gone now, but they'll be back. Don't worry. The last movie of his I saw was Scream 4, which I thought was a great continuation to the franchise. And I'd really like to know that how that kid got that webcam attached to his head. I actually kind of thought that was cool, even though it was kind of like a Dragon Ball Z scouter for whatever reason. One movie of his I wish I'd had seen was a movie called Red Eye, and that was with Cillian Murphy, I think. And I remember hearing a lot of really good things about that, but I just never got around to seeing it for whatever reason. Other movies of his, I've seen People Under the Stairs, but I don't remember a lot about it. I also have seen Serpent and the Rainbow. Once again, I remember nothing about it, which is really, really, I remember the movie poster more so than I do anything. Now, there's a really great documentary called Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street Legacy, where these guys take a look at the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise right up to the reboot, pretty much. And it's like 4.5 hours long, but it is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Actually, I had a chance to talk with these guys a couple years ago, and I met Heather Langenkamp the last time I went to Fan Expo and got her autograph. Though very begrudgingly, because I mentioned that I knew the directors of the other movie, and they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. So, yeah, there's my own personal connection to Nightmare on Elm Street. But he's one guy I'm really sad I never got a chance to speak to, because he was always so well-spoken in his interviews. He seemed very sincere, very genuine about his craft, and just I never got the sense at any time he was full of shit. I never got the sense that he was ever full of himself. And I've heard different stories come out of between him and Robert Shea at that time, New Line Cinema. So, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of hard to believe that I live in the world where he's gone. But his movies are always going to live on. Like, if you look on his IMDb page, he's known for Scream, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, the first movie, and New Nightmare. And those are probably my favorites of his. Although I would arguably put Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, on there as well. And stuff like that. Like I said, there's just, I really wish I'd had a chance to speak with him. And now that he's gone, I'm probably going to go back and take a look at his career. In fact, he'll probably be a future Twig Topic show at this point. We were going to do it this year, or we were going to do it for Halloween, but we're going to do Evil Dead this year instead, just because. But yeah. So, I don't know what to say here. I mean, really, I don't. It's just, I don't know. I mean, thank you, Wes Craven, for making sleep something to be terrified of, for giving us a pop culture icon that, in my opinion, has yet to be matched. I mean, Jason's cool because he's brutal. Michael Myers is cool because he's the shape. Chucky, he's a wise cracking doll midget thing. But Freddy's in a league all of his own, because you have to sleep. You can't escape that. And I utterly love that. So, Wes Craven, our nightmares will never be the same without you. So, I'll see you on the other side, Wes. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. Sort of looking back at Wes Craven. Our topic show is going to be Mystery Science Theater 3000 for the month of August, since we're about a month behind, since we're about 2 weeks behind now. October, we may not do a show, quote-unquote, for September, so to speak. I'll try and fill it out with other content. And we'll just focus on Evil Dead in October. And that's because we have James Rolfe joining us, the angry video game nerd. So we'll probably get his thoughts on Wes Craven's passing at the beginning of the episode, just to kind of set the tone for things. But yeah, so that's pretty much going to do it for me. So once again, big thanks to our sponsors of Meowbox.com. They make Ayla, Wiley, and Dr. Logan so happy. And our friend Shannon and Sean's cat, Pepper, they get the toys that the cats can't have because Wiley's allergic to catnip. But still, it makes the kitties so happy. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, never sleep again.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with a shat.
Okay, okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die, 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 die! Holy crap! Whoa, whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by at replying to at thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.